Hi, I'm Logan Wickersham.
And I'm Kyle Parker.
And we are The Sports Guys. Welcome to our inaugural podcast, Monday, September 28th. Today we've got the OU West Virginia preview, but first we are going to do a quick backstory of ourselves for our first episode. Kyle, go ahead.
Well, I am born in Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City, and I've been following OU since 2000, right after the national championship, so that's kind of like... Why couldn't I have seen it? But the other sports, I like the Eagles, I like the Yankees, and I'm just a huge sports fan. And like
Thunder fan too, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm a Thunder fan, and it's just like I love sports. I actually go to the University of Oklahoma, so like it's a little biased sometimes, but we'll keep that down for you guys. So it'll be a good show.
And I am Logan Wickersham. I also was born in Oklahoma City. I do not go to the University of Oklahoma. I actually, unfortunately, go to Oklahoma State University. Luckily, though, it is not in the trash city known as Stillwater, Oklahoma. I go to OSU OKC in Oklahoma City. So I don't have to live in Stillwater with their one Walmart and nothing else. I live on campus. You walk out of my front door and you see the stadium and the university. I will be attending in spring 2016 here in a couple months. Other than that, I like OU football. I'm not quite as biased as Kyle over here. I hate the Eagles. I love the Cowboys. I'm a Thunder fan. And I occasionally root for other teams because I like the players, i.e. Damian Lillard and Kobe Bryant. Today we are going to start with the OU West Virginia preview. Kyle, if you want to go ahead and start talking about West Virginia, I'll follow up.
Yes. West Virginia, it's kind of like an intriguing team. They've played three games so far, and they've played absolute crap. Like, they started out with Georgia Southern, and then they played Liberty, and then they played Maryland, the most overrated Power 5 team in the history of Power 5 teams.
The worst, probably the second to worst Big Ten team.
Yes, so
Rutgers.
Like, they have awesome ranking stats, like total defense 26th, passing offense 12th, rushing offense 31st, and they're actually first in the turnover margin. But like, how are you going to like decipher that between who they've played? Are they legit?
Yeah.
So this is like their first week that they're actually going to get tested.
Yeah, so OU, I could argue that they've only played one decent team in Tennessee. But at the time, it's different when a team starts good and they believe in themselves and they don't know that they're bad yet, which is what happened with Tennessee. Last year and this year, obviously last year, Tennessee was hyped up to be SEC powerhouse. They finished, what was it, 7-6, yeah, 6-7?
How about that choke job?
Yeah. The choke job this year. So when OU played Tennessee, they were a good team. They just lost to Florida, so they are on a backslide a little bit. But I could make the same argument for OU. The thing is, when people think of Tulsa, who was the last opponent that OU had, they think of garbage time Tulsa, as always.
Yes.
But what most people don't know is that Tulsa's new head coach was the offensive coordinator at Baylor. Also, Tulsa has the third-ranked offense in Division I football. So this wasn't a walk in the park for OU's defense, which...
As we saw.
Yeah, as we saw with that secondary, which looks like nothing has changed from last year.
Yes.
Obviously, people have gotten older, but I've argued that just because someone has gotten older does not mean that they have gotten better. See Zach Sanchez.
Overrated.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. Neither one of us are a huge fan of Zach Sanchez. I'm sure he probably lives right down the street from me. But a Big 12, what was he, a preseason All-American?
Yeah, I think he was a Big 12 preseason All-American, which is just absolutely absurd, seeing how we ranked above 100 last year in defensive passing.
Yeah, so defensive pass defense was 117.
Yeah, pass defense was just horrendous last year.
Yeah. So far through three games for OU and three games for West Virginia, kind of a lopsided defensive battle. West Virginia is ranked 26th in total defense compared to OU's 54th. I could sit here and name the stats for you, but the thing is, if OU played the schedule that West Virginia did, I have a feeling they would be a little bit higher than 54th. but the numbers don't lie, and OU's pass defense is still not as good as people were hoping it would be. But Kyle, go ahead and talk about West Virginia's offense.
Well, they like to pass. They don't really like to run that much. They rank 12th in passing with 969 yards on 95 attempts and 66 completions. And then the rushing is 31st. They have 144 yards rushing, or 144 yards, 144 attempts, and then 661 yards. So they like to pass. They're a pass-heavy offense. Dana Holgorsen used to be the offensive coordinator for Oklahoma State, and it was just an air raid type of offense. That's what he's instilled in West Virginia. That's what he's been going after his entire career at West Virginia, and I don't think that's going to change at all. They're a very pass-heavy team.
Yeah, the thing is with Dana Holgorsen's offense, there we go, it's pretty much a plug-and-play system. So they get a new quarterback this year. They had Clint Trickett last year. Today, or this year, they have Howard. Just pretty good numbers when you compare it to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is on the Heisman list through three games.
Which I think is absurd.
Yeah. Kyle doesn't buy Baker yet. I'm kind of on the hype train. I see a lot of Johnny Football in him. And Johnny Football was the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Bunny signs.
I think Johnny Manziel is awesome. I don't think Baker Mayfield has what Johnny Manziel has.
How can you say that, though? I know you watched that Tennessee game.
I did. I watched the Tennessee game, and the first three quarters were absolute crap. It was just garbage. They didn't have any rhythm. They literally had nothing going for them. Baker Mayfield's one of his first passes of the game right through the hands of a wide receiver for a touchdown. That just set the tempo for the first three quarters, and the offense never got going, and that's Baker's fault.
If a wide receiver drops a football, that is not Baker's fault.
But if he's the leader of the team.
Being a leader of the team doesn't make someone catch a ball. Having skill as a wide receiver makes someone catch a ball. If the ball hits you in the hands as a wide receiver, you catch it. That's why they have drop statistics.
Yes.
If a wide receiver, if the ball hits your hand and you drop it, that is on the wide receiver.
Yes. But it's on the wide receiver, but the next four drives were not on the wide receiver. He needs to have more rhythm in that type of offense and that type of scheme that new offensive coordinator Lincoln Riley is supposed to have. And that right there is a huge question mark for the future of Oklahoma's season, because you have TCU, you have Baylor, you need to put up points. And an overrated Tennessee team that I thought was just garbage the second half, had no reason to be out there playing. You've got to be prepared for, Tulsa, we put up points when we needed to. I give him that. He made an unbelievable play, scrambling outside the pocket, breaking like three tackles for a touchdown.
Johnny freaking football. Right
there. But then again, TCU and Baylor are going to be tough opponents against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Because he has a history of not doing so well in the Big 12 Conference, going back to Texas Tech in those big games.
Yeah. Definitely when you compare defenses when it comes to the likes of Oklahoma State, TCU, Kansas State, Baylor, he's not going to be able to do the stuff that he did against Tulsa and Akron. I could argue that Tennessee has a good defense. They were missing two defensive tackles, and their best pass rusher was out for a portion of that game, so that does make it easier to scramble away, make the Johnny Football type of plays. Obviously, with better defenses, you're not going to be able to do that as often, unless you are the talent that people think that he is. If you're good enough, it doesn't matter who you play, you're still that good. That's why Johnny Manziel was out there scrambling around against the best defense in the country in Alabama. So we need to wait and see. I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. I don't know about Heisman hype right now, but against West Virginia, I think he could do the Johnny Manziel type of plays, meaning scramble around, get out of the pocket, evade pass rushers, and get the ball to someone like Smallwood, D.D. Westbrook, Sterling Shepard. Joe Mixon, who is the second leading receiver on our team. I don't know how that happens when you bring in a stud like D.D. Westbrook and Deron drop the pass Neal. if Deron Neal could catch a pass, Baker Mayfield would be number one in the country. Sorry, dude, but you cannot catch a ball, and I don't know why you're on offense. Deron Neal, I wouldn't say he's overhyped because he doesn't get hype, but how he's a starter, I have no freaking idea. But speaking of pass offense, we're going to talk about the pass defense of West Virginia. Coming into this season was preseason, I think, it was in the top three for Big 12 pass defense. And when you look at it, they are 26th in total defense. That is in the country. So that is pretty good. I know they haven't played anyone, but being inside almost the top 25 in pass defense or in total defense for the entire country is something that you can brag about, especially when someone like OU, who's supposed to be a national powerhouse, is 54th.
Now, we've talked about passing. We've talked about Baker Mayfield. We've talked about the studs on offense, but the West Virginia-Oklahoma game has got to come down to rushing the football, to winning that line of scrimmage from the offensive line, and to getting those extra yards, getting those first downs. And to me, I think that Oklahoma has the edge, even though they haven't had prior success this season in the running game, leading with Samaje Perine.
Absolutely. I think OU is going to definitely have the running advantage in this matchup. I think it's going to come down to the run game and turnovers. I think that that's going to be split 1-1. Obviously, West Virginia with their turnover margin of plus 11 on the season, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Plus 11 on the season and
It's plus 9.
Plus 9. Plus 9 on the season, and OU is negative 4 on the season. So
it's a 13 difference.
Yeah, that's a 13-point swing right there when it comes to turnovers. So if OU can limit turnovers, I think, and with the rushing attack, if they can finally get something going, I think is Darlington going to be back?
Yes.
Darlington, Neela Kasatadi, right guard. He played a little bit in the Tulsa game. He had the bye week to get healthier. He should be back. Hopefully, I haven't heard much about the West Virginia defensive line, so hopefully they can get something together and get something on the rushing side, because right now OU ranks 96th in rush offense with only 547 yards on the season. Now, when you compare that to what I believe to be the best running back in football, Leonard Fournette through three games has 631 yards of offense by himself. The OU running backs, all of them combined, have 547 on the season. But we're going to save that argument for a little bit later in the show, because right now we are still talking about the OU West Virginia preview. When it comes to rushing offense, statistically, West Virginia does have the better ranked 68th compared to OU's 96th. But I do think that the talent in the backfield with P. Ryan and Mixon will shine this week.
Do you think, okay, we saw it a little bit in the Tennessee game, but do you think in this West Virginia game, you know, it's probably going to be high scoring. So they're going to be in the red zone a lot. Do you think we're going to see more of that Mixon, P. Ryan, Wildcat in the red zone?
Absolutely. Since it is going to be a shorter field, I think that the Wildcat, especially with those two people, Joe Mixon and P. Ryan, it's lethal. It's almost unstoppable. The only thing that we can really compare it to would be the Belldozer package from a couple years ago. And while it was unstoppable at first, once people learned that Blake Bell couldn't really throw the ball all that well, they stacked the box. So the only reason that I have to believe that the Wildcat wouldn't work is if they start to bring 8-9 in the box, or if they're brave enough with their pass defense, because their secondary is one of the best in the Big 12. They might feel that they could drop 9, maybe even 10 into the box to stop the Wildcat if they line up inside the red zone.
See, I agree with you with bringing in the Wildcat this game, but I just have uncertainty of it, because you look who Oklahoma has the next week after West Virginia. Texas. You know, they kind of want to save that extra formation in the bag, so whenever they're playing their arch rival, that they have some surprise in it for them. Now, the one thing I think about the OU Tennessee Wildcat formation.
And you know, sorry to interrupt you, but especially coming after the Tennessee game, we learned that Baker Mayfield can move. You know, he scored 2 rushing touchdowns in that game. Were they both inside of the red zone? I know he scored 2.
I think so. He scored a rushing touchdown against Tulsa last week, and it was like a 40-yard run with no one near him.
Yeah, so Baker Mayfield can, I wouldn't say, he can scramble. I wouldn't necessarily want him to. He is quick. He's not fast. He's got maneuverability, I would say that. So if you're in the red zone, you definitely have to watch for him scrambling. While it might not be the first option, if they can run some sort of play-action read, that was definitely proven to be successful against Tennessee in the overtimes. So you've got the Wildcat with Mixon and P. Ryan, plus you have a quarterback that can run a read option play. Can you imagine if they did a triple option with P. Ryan, Mixon,
and Baker?
And Baker? Like, that would be almost unstoppable.
That'd be pretty good.
That, yeah, I've never thought of that. That would be pretty good. Go back to Wishbone.
Yeah, but the thing about me is, like, last year we had Josh Heupel as offensive coordinator. We had Trevor Knight at quarterback. We ran the football a lot with quarterbacks. And Trevor Knight was injury prone. He got injured all the time.
Yeah, they were scared to have him run.
So, like, whenever they moved to this air raid offense, I thought, like, okay, we're not going to be running the football with a quarterback. Great. I'm not going to get hurt. So, like, when I was – I've been at every game. So, when I've besides Tennessee, every home game I've been at. I've been to Akron. I've watched Tennessee. I've been to Tulsa. Every time Baker Mayfield carries the football, I hold my breath. Yeah. Because the last thing we want is an injured quarterback going into Texas or to TCU or Baylor to have that type of offense that we can succeed against those big guys.
Yeah, and that was part of the reason with last year with Trevor Knight, and we had absolutely no backup. So we had Cody Thomas and who was the other backup?
I think he – oh, what? No, Kendall was
no,
2 or 3 years ago.
I honestly don't remember if yeah. Cody Thomas was either the second or the third string after Trevor Knight. Cody Thomas had to be second string because he played at the end of the year when Knight was out. So we had Knight and then Cody Thomas, and then our tight end would be our third end, Blake Bell.
Blake Bell.
He played quarterback.
I believe if Cody Thomas would have gotten hurt, we'd pull Blake Bell back into the quarterback spot.
But like I was saying, part of the reason that they would never run with Trevor Knight last year is simply because they had no reserves. So we would run, I don't know how often I would get so ticked off at Josh Heupel because we would run a QB read and Trevor Knight would never keep the ball. Like, if you're going to run a read option play,
they told him not to.
I know, and that's not on Knight. I'm sure Knight saw something that he wanted to run, but when you've got an offensive coordinator running a QB read and the defensive end never reads the quarterback, he reads the running back, that is essentially a loss of a down. Because the whole point of a QB read play is so that the defensive end has to read a running back or he has to read the quarterback. Obviously, you do the opposite of what the defensive end does. But if you never, ever, ever let the quarterback pull it and take it himself, what's the point of running a QB read?
And I think that's what Baker Mayfield's doing this year. He's pulling it. He's wanting to make that play to make the difference. And I think that's a great thing for Oklahoma. But, like, I think Lincoln Riley has proved me wrong so far. Like, the first game at Akron, I was, like, holding my breath. Tennessee, I was still holding my breath. But Tulsa, you really saw the effectiveness of that QB run.
Yeah. The only thing that I need to see from Lincoln Riley is, obviously, to get the backfield more involved.
Yeah.
We have 2 freaking amazing running backs back there that need to get the ball more. And while I understand it's an air raid offense, most air raid offenses
don't have... Our best player is our running back.
Yeah, like, 2 of our best... No, I mean, Sterling Shepard is probably our best player. You can make the argument P. Ryan and Shepard, number 1 and 2. Most talented, I would probably definitely have to say Mixon. So our top... 2 of our top 3 players are in the backfield. Most air raid offenses do not have the firepower that Oklahoma has at the running back position. So I understand that your game plan is going to be throw, some sort of HB draw out of shotgun, but you've got to be able to work the running backs into the scheme more, especially with the backfield that OU has. But for that to work, you got to have an offensive line that gives a crap when it comes to run blocking.
What I've been super impressed with Lincoln Riley this year is last year we ran the football. The first play of the entire season this year was a play action. I love how Lincoln Riley's incorporating the play action in this type of offense, because that's the only way this offense is going to work. And it's been a really great sign so far.
Yeah. I think it's great. Do you want to talk more about the defense for OU? You know, obviously the secondary has struggled.
Atrocious.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an improvement. Whatever happened with Jordan Thomas?
He got suspended. They won't say it's a team issue, but Bob Stoops says it's he doesn't know if he'll start Saturday. I think he will, because we saw that horrendous play in the game of Tulsa. I mean, look, Mike Stoops has had 2 years now.
Yeah.
2 years now to figure out something with the pass defense. Like, last year I thought Quentin Hayes was the most overrated safety in college football, along with the most overrated cornerback, Zach Sanchez. It's not a secret that this defense is ranked like 120th last year. And to come in this year with new hopes of revamping that defensive secondary.
You know, they hired Kerry Cook, so.
Yes.
I mean, it's an improvement to bring over a guy from a school like Notre Dame. It's an improvement, and I mean, they are playing better than last year. Although at the beginning of last year, our defense looked unstoppable. That's why people in the national spotlight.
Kirk Street said this defense was for real.
Yeah, people in the national spotlight were saying OU is going to win it all. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And then they got exposed. Julian Wilson is on the sideline cussing out his coach because Mike Stoops doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Running 10 yards off on Baylor the entire drive. I don't know how that happens. Everyone has talked about it in Oklahoma, like, nonstop. That is the go-to thing when you talk about the OU defense from last year is the Baylor game.
That's the image of the secondary right now.
Yeah.
And they've done nothing since that point to say, okay, we're not that same secondary. So you go back to the Clemson Bowl game, nothing had changed. It was terrible. It was terrible. Like, this Tulsa, like, it brought up some, like, okay, our defense is not where it should be.
Yeah.
We have some time, but we can't change personnel.
You know, the good thing and the bad thing, depending on how you want to look at it, about the Tulsa game, is that Tulsa is a mini Baylor. It's coming from the offensive coordinator of Baylor. I can't even remember his name. I don't really care right now. I'm not going to look it up. The offensive coordinator from Baylor from last year, head coach of Tulsa, obviously it's going to be the same scheme. We saw a lot of the same stuff coming from that offense, kind of a pass, a lot of crossing routes, underneaths. And Mike Stoops is going to have to prove to everyone that his secondary can handle it. And I know that a lot of people can't. That's why Baylor has been so good, is because no one can stop him. But we are not Eastern Popcorn State University. We are the University of Oklahoma. We are a powerhouse. So tell me why Baylor is getting worse recruits than OU, and we still cannot stop them.
I mean, you can make the argument that Baylor's getting the better recruits because you've got A&M, you've got TCU, you've got Baylor, all recruiting from Texas, all having the same type of success. So Oklahoma's not getting as much talent as they used to, and Mike Stoops, I feel like, is kind of getting exposed because of that and trusting in his corners way too much, playing 10 yards off the ball. You've got Zach Sanchez can't even get to the player within 5 yards and then him run past him and break Zach Sanchez's tackle and go for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's not just Zach Sanchez either. We have that freshman corner, PJ Manasabar.
Something like that, yeah.
He got exposed, too. He was playing exactly like Sanchez was, and he got beat on a slant route, Tulsa, for about 10 yards. And he got beat down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, right now, the schemes, I don't think, are working for Oklahoma's defense. I think we're doing an excellent job against the run game, which I think is our best part of our team, is our front seven. Obviously, because our secondary is so bad, but...
Yeah. I think that when it comes to Oklahoma, and this might sound biased, but I think that Oklahoma has the best linebacking core in the Big 12. If it's not the best, it's definitely top two or three, especially with the return of... what's
Frank
his name?
Shannon.
Frank Shannon, yeah. I was thinking Alexander. Especially with the return of Frank Shannon, our defensive line... I think it's pretty average. What do you think?
I think they've done a lot this year. Like, they, against the Tennessee run offense, I think they did. They weathered the storm against Hurd. Hurd is like one of the best running backs in the nation for Tennessee. So I think they did a pretty good job of scheming against that. They didn't give up a touchdown the second half of the Tennessee game, only in overtime. I just think, against Tulsa, the type of offense that we're not going to be playing in another SEC type offense. This is the Big 12, and every Big 12 team is pretty much spread. So I think we need to focus on the Tulsa game, study up, draw up different schemes, playing press, playing man, playing zone, something different to ignite this secondary. Because I'm not worried about the front seven. What I'm worried about is the secondary. Like, yeah. That is, like, the most nervous thing I have in my bones right now.
Yeah. I think most OU fans and really anyone in the media would agree with you on that. When it comes to this week's matchup with West Virginia, they are pretty, pretty balanced when it comes to the offense. 323 passing yards per game, 220 rush per game, 144 attempts for the rush offense on the year. 95 passing attempts on this year for the West Virginia offense. One thing we do know is that Dana Holgorsen knows how to make a good college quarterback. Pro quarterback, not so much. But in college schemes, he can make a good quarterback. We saw his wide receivers last year with Kevin White. They picked up right where they left off, honestly, with this pass offense. The stats might not prove it, but the game tape proves it. And their big plays are what I would be scared the most when it comes to this matchup. Their big playability is there, and OU's defense has yet to prove to anyone that they can stop a big play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they make big plays down the field. They draw up schemes on offense. They do post routes. They do crossing routes. They go for the big plays, and it's just gonna be intriguing. It's Oklahoma, West Virginia. I mean, Oklahoma has proven a little bit, but West Virginia hasn't really proven at all. So it's just going to be a huge question mark. And
yeah.
It's just, I mean, it just, again, it goes down to the running game. It goes down to the red zone running game. Are we going to get the football past the goal line? Like, are we going to get touchdowns?
All right. So we talked about the offense, the defense. Special teams does play a key role. Bob Stoops came out today at his press conference and said that the kick return game is not Alex Smith's fault. It is the other 10 guys on the field not blocking for him. Alex Smith, obviously, I'm saying Alex Smith. What am I saying?
Alex Ross.
Alex Ross, my bad. Kansas City plays tonight. Alex Ross is one of the best kick returners in the nation. We've seen that over the past year or so. His reps at running back have been completely taken over, so his only role right now is kick returner, and he's one of the best, but he has yet to show anything this year.
Yeah, but then again, it goes to the other team's strategy. Like,
yeah.
You had Tulsa kicking it on the foot of the guy in front of the kickoff.
Yeah.
And, like, you see it this year, they aren't kicking to him. They're kicking short. They're kicking at the 30-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, they're strategizing against that because they know his playmaking ability.
So, let's break it down by segment. pass offense. We're gonna both choose who we think is gonna win each segment. We're gonna start with turnovers. Who do you think is gonna win the turnover battle?
I think it's gonna be Oklahoma.
All right.
I think they're gonna shock some people because West Virginia clearly leads the turnover margin, but I think that's gonna be the difference in the game.
Okay, I'm gonna pick West Virginia. Clearly, they're +9 on the year. OU's -4. I'm hoping to be proven wrong as an OU fan, but Baker Mayfield has been proven to make some mistakes if he is pressured. If they can get pressure on him, throw some interceptions. Samaje Perine's not giving up the football. That's just not going to happen. So it's going to have to come through interceptions. Let's see. So we did turnovers, pass offense. Who's going to win the passing yards and passing touchdown battle?
I think it's going to be West Virginia because I think their secondary is better than our secondary, so they're just going to air raid it all night long.
Yep. I think this is going to be a push. I think OU has the better offense when it comes to passing, but I think West Virginia is a defense that OU has not seen, and that does include Tennessee. I think this is where the turnover battle is going to lean in West Virginia's favor. With the interceptions. So I'm going to give pass offense to the West Virginia Mountaineers simply because of the fact that OU has to play a better pass defense and West Virginia doesn't. So let's move to, let's see, defense as a whole. Who do you think is going to have the better defensive play, OU's defense or West Virginia?
I think Oklahoma is going to shut down the running game. I think they're just going to do a great job at that. I think they're going to do well passing the ball against Oklahoma's defense. And I think that they're going to create turnovers. You see Zach Sanchez, he wants to make a play every freaking...
That's how he gets burned.
That's how he gets burned. It's because he takes risky plays. He gets the interception. That Tennessee overtime interception to win the game. Everyone loves him. Still not buying them.
Big 12 player of the week after that interception.
Big 12 player of the week, and he did... they did hold him the second half. Yeah. I'll give him credit for that. But you just look at the history of Zach Sanchez getting burned. You go back to that Sugar Bowl win against Alabama. About half of those touchdowns that Alabama went, it was Zach Sanchez getting burned every play.
Yeah.
He did have that interception, though. But to the exception of that, I think he's turnover hungry. And that's going to be his fault in the passing game. I think that's why West Virginia wins the passing offensive game. I think they went over the turnover margin because a lot of people are going to be taking risks over at Oklahoma. And that's why they give up so many yards is because they take so many risks. Yeah. And I think they just need to dial up a better blitz scheme. I think Eric Stryker is going to play a huge deal.
Yeah, that's someone we didn't touch on, Eric Stryker and Devontae Bond. I think it is one of the best... rushing, I don't want to say defensive end. They play defensive end spots, outside linebacker, defensive end hybrid. The best tandem, Devontae Bond, Eric Stryker, to get to the quarterback in the Big 12. I think that the defense overall battle is going to go to OU as well. I think that we're going to be able to shut down the running game, which is going to have to open up the passing game, and that is when you see people like Eric Stryker, Devontae Bond. You'll see Diamond, Romar, all these people get into the backfield, shut down the run game. Our linebackers blitz like crazy. I think that the defense overall, OU's going to have a better game. Last but not least, running backs.
Samaje Perine.
Samaje Perine, yeah.
This was his marquee game. This is where he got started. This is where everyone knew Perine.
Yep.
He had an unbelievable performance against West Virginia last year.
Yep.
And that hasn't translated this year so much, but I still think he's still the same caliber running back as he was last year.
Yeah, I definitely think that OU is going to win the running back game, especially with the tandem of Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon in the backfield. And, you know, a quarterback's best friend is a good running game. So if we can mix it up, do 50-50, if we can get a passing game going, that's going to relieve some of the people in the box to stop the run. And hopefully our offensive line can do some run blocking for once this season and get it going.
One thing I saw this season, the new air raid type of offense, I've only seen one play where we had a single back formation for P. Ryan, and he went about 4 or 5 yards. We need to incorporate more of the eye in the single back to suit his style of offense. I understand the new air raid offense. I understand Baker Mayfield is not an under the center quarterback.
But the thing is, though, if we line up under center so that P. Ryan can get his touches, the defense is going to know. You know, that's part of the reason why they don't.
Baker Mayfield loves to run outside the pocket, does he not?
Are you talking about doing a PA, like a rollout? Or?
Yes, a roll. Like he can't survive in that little pocket of his.
Yeah.
And he has to scramble outside the pocket as soon as he sees a defender. So that goes into the question, you know, like, do they have special packages in the I formation for P. Ryan against Texas where Baker Mayfield does a play action and rolls out throw. To the right or to the left like he loves to.
Yeah. The only way that I see them going in under center, not necessarily an I formation, but maybe single back with P. Ryan, because that definitely does suit his style. He has to get rolling. But once he gets rolling, you need multiple men to tackle him. No, I don't think that Ray Lewis could arm tackle him. That's how strong he is. The only way that they are going to work out of a single back is if they implement some sort of
passing offense, single back.
Yeah, and pass play action out of that. Otherwise, if you line up under single back and run the ball,
here's another thing you could do. You could do the I formation, Joe Mixon playing fullback, and P. Ryan in the backfield, and then you can do a play action, and then Joe Mixon rolls out. And then you play action it, boom, touchdown, red zone.
To the flat?
Yeah.
To the flat?
I think that would be a great offensive scheme.
That is what Atlanta did to Dallas this week, and they lined up their HB2 in the fullback, and that is how they got one of their touchdowns. And I'm still butthurt about that because Brandon Whedon's out here setting Dallas Cowboy records, and he has no business doing that. but that's a different show. So you think that P. Ryan is the best running back on OU squad, right? You think he's better than Mixon?
Yes, I think he's better than Mixon.
How do you think he compares to other running backs in the country?
I think he's the best running back in the country.
That is where we disagree. You think that Samaje Perine is better than Leonard Fournette?
Yes.
You think he's better than Nick Chubb?
Yes.
You think he's better than Dalvin Cook?
Yes.
You think he's the best running back in Division I FBS football?
Yes.
Explain your reasoning.
He had 1,713 yards last season.
Last season?
Yes. And it was his freshman year. You have a new offensive coordinator, Lincoln Riley, changing the entire offense to not even suit his strengths. It suits his weaknesses. So you bring that into conversation, and it's just he has to learn a new offense. So, and I think he has the most talent. I think he has the speed.
Do you watch
Fournette? I think he has
Fournette?
The size. I think he has the vision, and he likes to just punch you in the mouth.
So does Leonard Fournette. Do you even watch Leonard Fournette
against Syracuse?
Okay,
buying that Syracuse crap.
Okay,
I'm not buying it.
Who has Samaje Perine played this year?
He's played nobody.
Exactly, and he has no yards. So tell me how Samaje Perine
offense.
Tell me how Samaje Perine
new offense.
Shut. Tell me how Samaje Perine, with his 263 yards, is better than Leonard Fournette, 631 yards.
Because it's a new offense, and he doesn't have the I formation like he did last year to get those like pound yards. It doesn't suit his type of offense, but he's more talented than Fournette.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
I bet you Leonard Fournette will have more yards this year than Samaje Perine did last year.
I don't believe so.
He's got 631 yards.
Yeah, and who was that against? An Auburn team that should have gotten beat from a Division II team. And then they play Syracuse. They played Syracuse. Syracuse is like the bottom tier of the NCAA football.
Syracuse was 3-0 going to that game. 3-0.
I don't care. Who was it against? Nobody.
The fact of the matter is, Leonard Fournette is number one in the Heisman race. He's the best player.
Yeah, because the SEC bias.
Oh my God. Leonard Fournette is number one in the Heisman race. He's the best player in college football.
And what Heisman race is that?
Everyone's. Everyone.
That's the ESPN Heisman race.
Everyone.
And it's because...
there are 3 million people in this country. You are the single one that thinks that he's not the best.
Because ESPN is business partners with the SEC. That is why you see so many SEC players in their Heisman watch.
They're better.
Can you tell me why Michigan State is not even in their playoff?
They are. I've heard a ton of people.
They're not. ESPN has not put in Michigan State so far in the college football playoff.
That's simply because they had to play Ohio State. So if you had to play Ohio State and you lose, and Michigan State and Ohio State play later in the year, that can knock you out. That is their reasoning, because Ohio State is in.
But it's the day. It's Michigan State. I believe Michigan State is a playoff team today.
Okay.
But they don't have them. They have them like number five. No, they have Baylor number five and like Michigan State number six.
No, Michigan State's number three.
No, Michigan State is not number three.
Michigan State is
Michigan
number three.
Michigan State is number not even in the top four.
Michigan State is number three.
Ole Miss is number one.
No. Ohio State, Ole Miss, Michigan State, TCU. That is your top four.
That's not ESPN's.
The fact of the matter is, we got off topic. Leonard Fournette is a better running back than Samaje Perine.
No.
And the stats are proving it.
No.
The stats are proving it, Kyle. No. You can see here making
excuses.
What did
Fournette do last year?
He didn't get nearly as many touches as Samaje Perine did, and he still got over 1,000 yards. He got over 1,100 yards with half the touches. He had 90 fewer touches than Samaje Perine did last year in a much, much, much tougher conference. So tell me how this guy is averaging 8.6 yards a carry. That is 1.4.
Because he played Syracuse.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Then Samaje Perine's record-setting game against Kansas doesn't matter. Because Kansas is the worst team in the country. Kansas is the worst Division I football team.
I don't disagree.
Okay, so if you're making the argument that...
record's a record. But...
then a yard is a yard. And Samaje Perine doesn't hold a candle to Leonard Fournette.
Yes,
and you saw Samaje Perine today. So when you see him...
You see the history of Oklahoma running backs. You see Adrian Peterson, you see DeMarco Murray, you see Samaje Perine. Who does Samaje Perine seem like? It kind of seems more of like an Adrian Peterson type back. And Oklahoma has the tendency to make top running backs in the NFL.
You are completely off base.
No.
People are comparing Leonard Fournette to Adrian Peterson, not Samaje Perine.
Which I do think he has the size of Adrian Peterson, but I don't think he's as talented as Samaje Perine.
He is not only as talented, he is more talented. Samaje Perine, north-south runner. He has to get going. That is why he can't get any yards out of this new system. If Samaje Perine was good enough, he would be getting the yards. But he can't. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year. Leonard Fournette, 8.
Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, so the stats don't matter. So the stats
don't
matter
to me. Tell me. What was the score of the Baylor-OU game last season?
Blowout to nothing.
Yes. How many carries did Samaje Perine get in that game?
5 carries.
That was the difference in the Baylor game, besides Mike Stoops.
<Not yet. laughs>
But I'm just telling you, if you put this guy in and you give this guy carries, eventually... he will break out 200-yard games.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. He has the history of doing so against West Virginia last year, against Kansas last year. He has over 200-yard games.
Samaje Perine won't even be starting for this team by the end of this year.
No, he will.
No,
he will be.
Joe Mixon
will be.
Joe Mixon will be number one on the depth chart by the end of this year.
I believe Mixon has a higher ceiling. But that higher ceiling is so high because I think Pirine is right next to him. I think these guys are extremely talented. I think Mixon's going to be an NFL back. I think Pirine's going to be an NFL back.
And I think Fournette's
going to be an NFL back.
He's going to be better.
But I just don't believe he's better.
No, you're wrong.
He's better.
I'm looking at the stats right now, and so are you. Fournette, in 2015, 73 attempts, 631 yards, 8.6 average, 8 touchdowns. Let's compare it to Pirine, shall we? 56 attempts, 263 yards, 4.7 average. He is almost averaging half of what Fournette, with only 2 touchdowns, 6 less touchdowns, against equal opponents. Tulsa's defense is garbage. Akron's defense is garbage. Tennessee's defense is garbage.
But you have to take into consideration that Lincoln Riley is trying to set his offensive schemes up.
Then that is part of the problem. If a good offensive coordinator comes in and sees that he has, according to you, the best running back in football, then he's going to get the ball. Samaje Perine's not even getting the most carries.
Did you see the end of that Tulsa game?
Yes, he broke off a couple of long runs at the end of the game.
Yes. And they gave him the football, not this okay bootleg to the right, try to pass the drop pass Daron Neal, and passing to Sterling. I love passing to Sterling, but whenever you don't set this guy up for success, that's when you have an issue. And I think that's the reason Pirine hasn't done as well this season.
He's not the best running back in the country.
I think he's the best running back in the country.
Based on what he did last year?
Yes.
Then he was the best running back in the country last year. That was last year. This is this year, Kyle. This is 2015.
He still is the same back.
No, he's not. He's not the same back because he's not getting the same plays. So
guess what?
That offense made him that good. Look at DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray was the best running back last year. How's he doing this year with that new system?
He's not the good running back. Same situation as Pirine.
He's not.
It's the same situation.
It's the offense and it's the offensive line. OU has 2 freshmen starting this year.
Yes, and they also have 3 seniors.
3 seniors that didn't play last year.
Doesn't matter.
They've been
on campus for 4 years learning how to play collegiate football.
If someone is a senior and this is their first year playing, they're not the best talent. If you can go 4 years without playing.
I agree.
So guess what? Just because they have an SR next to their name, doesn't make them good. It makes them old. So it doesn't make them good. That's why you've got Leo Collins starting at left guard for Dallas, and they're running all over freaking people with Joseph freaking Randall and Darren McFadden. The offensive line is 80% of a running back, and that is why Samaje Perine is not doing good, and the offensive system is why Samaje Perine is not doing good, and those are the reasons why Samaje Perine will not have the numbers he had last year. He will not be the running back he had last year. Leonard Fournette is the new running back.
Perine will have the better career than Fournette through college and beyond.
All right. You guys are hearing it right now. Bet me. If you feel so strongly that Samaje Perine is going to have a better... How are we going to judge this? By yards, touchdowns, what?
I mean, Fournette, is going to be out of the league in 5 years. So, that's what I believe.
Are you saying that Samaje Perine is going to have a better NFL career or college career?
He's going to have a better NFL career.
That is completely irrelevant.
Yes. No, it's not.
College game. If you're going to compare how someone's going to do in the NFL and are you them in college,
you
are completely off base.
You can't watch when Perine lined up in the I formation, what do most NFL type offenses run? They run either the single back or they run the I formation.
Fournette is doing that too, and he's killing
it. Look at Perine last year. He's a freshman. He literally was the biggest dude and the fastest dude running all over defenses. I think he has the higher ceiling in the NFL than Fournette.
Prove to me right now why Samaje Perine this year is a better running back than Leonard Fournette. Because right now, your only stats are from 2014. And guess what? 2014 was last year, bud. So comparing someone who is killing it this year, saying he's not as good because someone had 7... You're comparing 3 games from Fournette for 12 to Samaje Perine.
Let's go back to the OU-Tennessee game. Let's look at that. Let's look at that fourth quarter last play of the game, Baker Mayfield scrambling in. Who was leading him?
You're
into
going
the
to
end
say
zone?
Because he had one who, good block against
no,
Tennessee,
no, no,
he's
no, no,
better
no,
than
no.
Leonard Fournette.
No. Look who made the biggest play of the game, and possibly the biggest play of the entire football season. He literally put that SEC bullcrap defense on the ground for Baker Mayfield to go score a touchdown and win the
game.
That
doesn't make him a better running back, though. Really
that makes him a better football player.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. When it comes to who is
he
going to
be... He is a ball player. Okay.
Are you watching
70 yards. 70 yards of his yards last game against Syracuse. It was off of a broken play.
Exactly.
It was
that
off,
is how good he is.
No. A broken play where no defensive player is set in the right position. He literally got a free run 60 yards
because
down
he's
the
good
field.
Enough. He was good enough to go into the backfield.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
You are not doing that. So don't
give
try
me
say
the
that.
Ball and
are,
I'll run 60 yards.
You are 5'8".
I might not run 60 yards cuz I run like a 5'9" 5'9" 40, but give me the ball, and I will run 40 yards down the field.
If Samaje Perine had done that play, you would be saying what a good running back Samaje Perine is.
No.
Yes, you would.
No.
Yes,
because
would.
It's a broken play. Nobody can
it was
judge.
A, exactly.
Nobody can judge that.
It was a broken 60 play.
Yards, 60 yards of his little 600. Let's take away those 60 yards.
Why?
Let's
he took a broken play and turned it into a 60-yard play. That is a positive. That is not a negative. He took a broken play. Your words. Leonard Fournette took a broken play and turned it into a 60-yard gain.
And had
that
literally
is a positive.
60 yards. Okay, hey, let's go back to the Akron game that Oklahoma played. Everyone was raving about Joe Mixon's little 70-yard pass touchdown, the receiving touchdown.
Yes.
I could have been out there on that island and scored that touchdown. There was literally no one within 40 yards
so
of him.
So you're going to take
I'm
away
basing,
credit.
I'm basing most of Fournette's statistics on Saturday on how bad Syracuse defense was.
So in 3 weeks when they have played good SEC teams, are you going to come back and say, well,
he's not going to rush for that many yards against Alabama or even, heck, I'll put it out, Tennessee. He won't run that much. He won't run that much against Tennessee.
I bet he has more than Samaje Perine.
Any SEC team, he's gonna rush under 100 yards.
For every SEC team.
For not every SEC team, but almost everybody.
Okay, we're gonna remember this. This year, who's gonna have better statistics? Leonard Fournette, Samaje Perine.
Perine.
So yards.
Receiving.
Okay, no, that's a different thing.
No, that's not a different thing.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A part of the running backs
okay.
at Oklahoma.
So, most rushing yards, most receiving yards, most touchdowns, and average yard per carry. That is four. We'll think of a... What did I say? Did I say touchdowns?
Yes.
So, touchdowns, total rushing yards, total receiving yards, average per rush, and what do you want to make the fifth so it can be a tiebreaker?
Turnovers.
So the winner is going to have three categories unless we have a tie in the touchdown or turnovers. At the end of this year, Perine will have at least the majority. He will have at least three over Leonard Fournette. Is that what you're saying?
He'll either have two or three.
If he has two, he's not as good. If he has three, he's
better.
How?
He'll have two and then he'll have two.
No, there's five. So if someone has two, the other one has three. That's how numbers work. So if Leonard Fournette leads in touchdowns, yards to average, and yards in the season, and Samaje Perine has more average or whatever the other two are, then Leonard Fournette has three of the five categories. Therefore, he's better. That's what I'm saying.
And who's also going to be the judge of, like, important moments?
This is a statistical category. Whoever has the most statistics is going to win. So what do you want to bet on it? You're wearing a Chick-fil-A shirt. Let's say the winner has to buy the loser lunch from Chick-fil-A.
Done.
All right, that's a gentleman's bet. You heard it here that Kyle Parker has bet that Samaje Perine will beat Leonard Fournette in the statistic category of total rushing yards, total receiving yards, touchdowns, average yards per rush, and turnovers, at least three of the five categories, over Leonard Fournette.
Si, senor.
And apparently he already knows that Leonard Fournette is averaging over 200 yards per game.
Against Syracuse.
And Samaje Perine is averaging...
Against an Auburn team that got beat, almost should have gotten beat by a division.
How? Who has OU played?
Dude, they played nobody. But they
and he doesn't have the yards that Fournette does. they played nobody,
in,
too.
They're putting in a new scheme. They're putting in a new scheme.
That sounds, as Colin Cowherd would say, that sounds like a you problem. You made the bet. So guess what? At the end of the year, when Leonard Fournette has over 2,000 yards...
If you're going to quote big-time sports analysts, okay. Well, then a local one here that people would know was Jim Traver. And after the Kansas game, he got on the air at Sports Animal, and he was like, if you're Bob Stoops at this point, do you treat Samaje Perine like an Adrian Peterson in your offense? And I totally agreed with him.
What do you mean treat him?
Treat him. Base everything around him.
He is not Adrian Peterson. If he was, he would be getting all the carries.
I think he is kind of an Adrian Peterson.
The coaching staff, the nation, and the stats don't. So guess what? We made the bet, and that bet is on.
Yes,
and guess
that bet
what?
Is on, and I think
Leonard Fournette is leading in every category already.
I think I'm going to win the bet.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, you want to go ahead and wrap this up?
Yep. Let's wrap this up.
That has been our inaugural podcast for Monday, September 28th. Yeah, and so we will see you guys next time. I am Logan.
I'm Kyle
Parker, and we are those sports guys.
I totally messed up.